Beginning current daf, Masechtas Moed Katan daf Yud Gimel. We begin on the bottom of Yud Beis Mabeis, second line up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah. We're talking about all these themes of the series of Mishnahis regarding what's permitted, what's forbidden to be done on Cholosh Moed. So our Mishnah was describing the things that which were Bishvil Shalei Tevid, that shouldn't get lost, what's called Davar Ovid, is permitted to be done on Cholosh Moed. But as we said in the Mishnah, one of the cases were, as our Gemara quotes, v'shoyl l'peshtonim in the Mishnah, yeah, you could even remove the flax that's in soaking, v'chulu, etc. However, the words of the Mishnah were, but u'bavash le'icham nes malachta b'moyed, as long as you did not intend, you were able to do it earlier, and you're waiting to do it on Chodesh Moed, that's forbidden. And anything that was kiv malachta b'moyed will be yoibdu, will have to be lost, you cannot benefit from it. Now, related to this halacha, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked from Bezer the following question. Let's say kivim b'malachta b'moyed. Let's say someone was able to do it before Yom Tov, but he pushed it and said, you know, I'm off from work, I'll do it then, which we said, the halacha is you have to do it, should be lost, you can't have benefit from it. But let's say Umeis, the person who did this, died. Mao sheiknesu b'noy achrav, what's the halacha? Will we penalize his sons after him, who inherits it from him? Do we say that for the sons, it's also going to be forbidden that malacha because it was kivim malachta b'moyed, so it would be appropriate that no one's allowed to have benefit from it, just like it was forbidden for the father? Or will we say that no, that we don't penalize the sons and only the father? Now that he's dead, the sons could have benefit from it. So the Gemara explains the question. Even in Timtza Leimah, if you're going to say, as you continue to talk about Gimel Ben Aleph, that Sodom Oizen Bechor, if let's say someone went and nicked and cut a little bit of the air of the animal that's the firstborn. Now, why would someone do that? Because he wants to make it into a Balmum, be blemished, and then it's permitted. You don't have to bring it anymore as a carbon. Now, that's forbidden to be done, because the pasuk of Vikra Chabez, it says, lo yiboy, mum lo yiboy, there shouldn't have been a blemish, but it's read, mum lo yahayiboy. You're not allowed to go inflict a blemish. So, if a person did inflict the blemish onto the Bukhar, the Rabbanan penalized him that he cannot have benefit from now anyway. Now, if you're going to say that if he dies, that let's say in that halacha you'll say, oh, we do penalize the son after him, and even the sons cannot have benefit, which is a question that's similarly asked over there, still says the Gemara, it still will not prove regarding the question we're asking in our Mishnah. Because I'll tell you over there, Mishnah de Suda de Reisa, because that's a biblical violation that the Torah says, mum lo yahayiboy. So therefore, yeah, it's a biblical violation that we're even going to penalize the son. But here, regarding the halacha of kivim malachta b'moyed, regarding where he was able to do it before Yom Tov, and he's waited to do it on Cholosh Moed, is not a biblical violation, because we see when loy miskaven is totally permitted. So it's just rabbinic that, oh, why are you pushing it up to Cholosh Moed? Oh, the rabbis are not going to let you. So maybe there we would not penalize the son. So to vim tim to loy, and if you're going to say regarding a different context, which we had a similar question, a machar avdu levikachavim, someone sells his slave to a Gentile. The Rabbanan penalized him that the slave could go out free. Meaning, if let's say he runs away from the Gentile to the idol worshiper, then the Jew cannot force him to work for him anymore. Now, if let's say Umeis, let's say the seller of the slave dies and now he escapes from the Gentiles and he comes back. So even if you're going to say Kuntu b'nei Acharav, that we penalize his sons who inherit the slave after the father and they cannot force the slave to work for them, I can tell you there are also Mishum the Chol Yom and Mafkalei Mitzvahs, because every single day, as long as he was in the dominion of an idol worshiper, he's obviously not going to be doing mitzvahs, and he's removing him from mitzvahs, which an Eved Kenani of Yisrael has obligation of mitzvahs like a woman. So therefore, that's a big problem, and therefore that's a big penalty, which will even extend to the sons. But Hocha Mai, in our case, we're asking in our Mishnah what the halacha would be, because Gavra, the person who intended to do his malacha on Yom Tov, maybe him comes to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan penalized him that he shouldn't have benefit from it. V'alesan, he's not around anymore, maybe, so it's going to be permitted. A demo, maybe no, we didn't penalize the person. What's not called the gavra? But mamayna comes Rabbanan. The monies were penalized. It's called the heftin, the object. Va'isa, and the slave is over here. And therefore, even if his sons cannot go ahead and benefit, in this case of kivim malachta b'moyed, where you, this work that he did, let's say, pulling out the flax from where it was soaking, which that malacha, isn't you kivim malachta, maybe we would penalize even the sons because it's in the heftza, or is it in the gavra? Which one will be forbidden or permitted for the sons? So malay. So on that, Reb Zera answered to Reb Yirmi, he says, Tinesua, it's a Mishnah Masechta Shviyas. Mishnah says, Sodish and Niskavtsi B'Shviyas, if you have a field that the thorns were removed from the field in the Shemitah year, which you're not supposed to do work on the Shemitah year, Tizil L'Matzah Shviyas, that's not considered doing work, you could plant it on Matzah Shviyas. But let's say in the Taiva, let's say you fertilized the field, which you had fertilizer going with wagons and carrying it all around the field, or in the Dairo, or let's say it was by making a pen of the cattle, which they have to stay with, and they're going to fertilize it, that's working the land. So regarding these situations, loy tizul matzah shviyas. Now this field, now that you fertilize in the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant it after the Shemitah year, which these are all rabbinic violations. And still, they were penalized that you cannot plant it after the Shemitah year. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, the Amr B'Yisrael Chanini says, Naktin, we have a tradition that had Tiva Umes. Let's say he did fertilize the field, and then the owner of the field died. Benoi Zaira, the son could plant it after the Shemitah year. Oh, Amr L'Didei Kansarabon. We see that we only penalized him. Lebrei L'Kansarabonon, and the son we didn't penalize. So Hanami here also, where it's also rabbinic law, that in contrast to the it was biblical, although you're being mafki evit from mitzvahs, here it seems to be the equivalent of violating rabbinic law, that yes, that's only in the gavra and not in the chefza. Hachanam heirosa l'didei kansarabanan, they only penalize the person who was mechave malach b'mayid, lebrei l'kansarabanan, but they did not penalize the son. The son would be able to go out and have benefit from it. Another proof, Amar Abaye says, like, we have a tradition, timei taharosab. If someone went and made his friend's taharas impure, so they penalize him that he has to pay him back because he defiled it. But let's say Umeis and he died, they did not penalize his son after him. Might have, what's the reason? Because Hezek Shein Nikar, this is unrecognizable damage, which Loishma Hezek is not called damage because the thing is here, it's just qualitatively different, but it's still here. So that's called Loishma Hezek. And therefore, Lididei Kansar Abanan, they penalized the one who did it. Lebrei Lekansar Abanan, they did not penalize the son. And that's the same thing by Chol HaShemayid. When it comes to rabbinic penalties, it's only for the person and not for the son. Now, look at the next Mishnah again, continuing regarding what's permitted to be done in Malacha, Chol HaShemayid or not. Says the Mishnah, Ein Loichim Batim Avodim Behema. One's not allowed to purchase a home, slaves, animals, on Chol HaShemayid, Il Tzarech HaMayid, only if it's needed for a Yom Tov purpose. Oy L'Tzarech HaMoicher, or it's necessary for the seller. Shein L'Mayochli, doesn't have what to eat, then you can purchase from him so that he has food for Yom Tov. Now, relating back to the Halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara introduces Bo Yimenei Rav Min Nachman. Rav asks from Nachman the following question. Schar P'ula, the wages for a worker, Shein L'Mayochli, who doesn't have what to eat, the worker has no food to put on his table. Ma, what's the Halacha? Can you give him work to hire him so that he'll have food what to eat? In other words, generally you cannot do work, but maybe if under the circumstances he doesn't have what to eat, you could hire him. So Malay, so Rav Nachman said to Rabbi, he says, what do you mean? Tanina, this is what we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, you cannot buy these things unless it's L'Tzarech HaMoed, or even if it's not L'Tzarech HaMoed, or L'Tzarech HaMoicher, or it's necessary for the seller. Now, when you have the next words in the Mishnah that says, She'in lo ma'yoichel, that he doesn't have what to eat, L'Suyimeh, what's that coming to include? If it's that the seller doesn't have what to eat, you already said, L'Tzarech HaMoicher. Obviously, that means to say that he doesn't have what to eat. So what are you adding on by the words, She'in lo ma'yoichel? Lav lasu yischar pu'ula, isn't it coming to include somebody else that doesn't have what to eat? Meaning a worker, that then you would be able to go ahead and hire him. Amalei says, no, perushikum mefash, it's just explaining when we said that you're allowed to buy, if it's l'tzarech ha'meicher, what does that mean? For example, if the seller doesn't have what to eat, but you wouldn't be able to resolve for granting someone doing work, which is forbidden, to hire him, to pay him, maybe that wouldn't be the case, wouldn't be the same, the equivalent of selling, which is not like real work. Maybe you wouldn't be able to hire him just to go ahead and give him money. So Esav Abaya, Abaya asks from a mission later on, the B'tchasim Abbeis, that says, "In Kaisvin Shitri Chayv B'moid." You're not allowed to write documents of debt on Chol HaShemayid, but Vim Einam Amina, but if the lender doesn't trust the borrower, or he doesn't have what to eat, so then you can write the document. Says the Gemara, says Abaye, when it says he doesn't have what to eat, what's that coming to include? In other words, if you're saying the borrower that he doesn't have what to eat, you already said if you don't trust him, it's permitted. And you can't explain an answer that, it's explaining that she'en lo ma'yoichel, because how would that explain that if you don't trust him, so she'en l'mayoichel, that's not really saying anything, because even if he has what to eat, you already said that you could lend someone money, and if you don't trust him, you could write it. So what does she'en l'mayoichel have to say anything? Says Abaya, obviously, lav lasu yischar pu'ula, isn't it coming to include the wages of the worker, meaning that the scribe doesn't have what to eat? Meaning, you trust the borrower. But a scribe, who he makes his money over writing the documents, he doesn't have what to eat. You're allowed to hire him, Chol HaShemayid, to write the document simply to give him his wages. Shema Mina, obviously says Abaye, you see from here clearly that yes, you do have a raya that Schar Pu'ula would be permitted to go ahead and hire him just to go ahead and pay him so that he has what to eat on Yom Tov.
However, Meitzer Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, however, asked him this from the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim. The Mishnah says, "V'chomer mit the sages say, Shalosh umenyos eisin melacha ba'avir Pesachim ad chatzais." There are three professions that, although you're not supposed to do work on Erev Pesach, the following three professions could do work on Erev Pesach up until ad chatzais, until noon. What are these three professions? Hachayotin, tailors; vasaparin, barbers; vakayvsin, and launderers that do laundry. Why? Sachayotin, regarding tailors, shekin head yitayfek adarke b'chol shemay, because a regular person, a common man, could stitch in the normal way on chol shemay. So you see the certain leniencies regarding sewing. So a tailor could do up until chatzais. Hasaparin vakayvsin, regarding why could barbers and why could launderers do on Erev Pesach to chatzais. Shekin, because we find habon mebinin zayam, people that came from overseas, or vayitim mebeis asurin, or came out of jail, mutaron l'sab b'lachabes, they're permitted to have a haircut and to do laundry, b'chol shemayit al-chol shemayit. So Erev Pesach, which is a similar alcha to chol shemayit, you see you have these leniencies regarding these three professions al-chol shemayit, therefore you could do these also on Erev Pesach. But says Rav Sheshes, asking on Abayim, v'isokatetech, now if you're going to entertain to say the schar pu'ula, regarding the wages for a worker, Shein l'mayyuch, that you said he doesn't have what to eat, shor you allowed to hire him simply to pay him. So then what do you mean? Kol malach is namin lishtudi. Then all types of activities of constructive work should be permitted to be done on Erev Pesach. Why? Because you're allowed to go ahead and pay a worker for whatever work he needs to do, not just these three types of professions, on chalash amayid. Rather, obviously you could infer from there that no, to pay a worker who doesn't have what to eat, it would be forbidden on chol shemayit. Therefore, all other professions are forbidden, and only these three are permitted. Because if it was like Abaya, then every profession should be permitted on Erev Pesach. Toshmaskelor, a papa asks on Rav Sheshes' question. From the fact that he's asking from the Mishnah that says that there's three professions that you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach, so obviously he holds, and this was Rav Sheshes' point, that any malacha that you're allowed to do on chol shemayit, you should be allowed to do on Erev Pesach. So Rabbi is correct that you're allowed to do a chol shemayit if the worker doesn't have food, and whatever profession it is, you should be allowed to do that on Erev Pesach. Such a papa, that's not the case. Because Elmiat, if your premise was correct, then binyan lishtudi, you should be able to make buildings on Erev Pesach. Why? Because when you have a wall that's leaning over to the Shusar Abim, the halacha is that you could demolish it and rebuild it in a normal way on chol shemayit. And the reason why you could do that, b'nehasakon, because of danger. So you think every type of building, because there's a way of building that's permitted chol shemayit, so every building should be permitted on Erev Pesach? Similarly, maskev l'Ravina. Ravina also holds a gepub and asks Rav Sheshes, says, Elmiata, Rav Sheshes' premise is correct. So lavlo l'shturi. So then a scribe should be permitted to write whatever he wants in Erev Pesach, because shekein kaisim kedushin noshim gitim v'sheibarim, you're allowed to write for the engagements of women and the divorce documents and receipts of chol shemayit. So Elam Rav Ashi, rather, Rav Ashi concludes the questions of Rav Papa and Ravina and show why they disagree with Rav Sheshes' question on Baya. And says, Moir Arba Asa Karamas, Rav Sheshes, you're asking from Chol Shemayit to regarding the halachas of Erev Pesach, and that was his question on Baya? That's not a question. You can't compare the two. They're not the same thing. Yes, there were parallels that the Braises, that the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim is saying, but it's not universal to ask on Baya from that. Because although they're similar, but fundamentally they have different reasoning. The reason why you cannot do work on Chol HaShemayit is Mishum Tirchu, because the effort, we want people to be focused on the Yom Tov, not being busy with other things. But in certain situations of lost, the rabbi is permitted, and yes, therefore it could be correct that the worker who doesn't have what to eat, where it's going to be a loss, then he is allowed to do work. The reason why on the 14th of Nisan you cannot be doing work is because people should be preparing for Yom Tov. So things that are necessary for Yom Tov, the rabbi is permitted, like those three professions, but nothing more. But the same thing is, you're right, says Rashi, that if you didn't have what to eat, there's no greater Tzarech Yom Tov than that. And you're right, that would be permitted on Erev Yom Tov. But things that are not necessary, the rabbis did not permit. And therefore your question about saying all malachas would be permitted is not true. It's only that payel, that yes, would be permitted. But again, they're fundamentally different. One is because of tircha, one is because of tzarech yom tov. And therefore they refuted the question that Rav Sheshes has in Abaya. And therefore it's true that, like Abaya said, the payel she'en l'mayyichel would be similar to that of, like we said in the Mishnah, of the meicher, that she'en l'mayyichel, if it doesn't have what to eat, not just selling, but even working, would be permitted to hire on chol shemayit. So now look at the next Mishnah, continuing this theme, again, what's permitted and forbidden to be done in regards to work on chol shemayit. Says the Mishnah, im afanam ibayis labayis. You cannot clear out stuff from one house to another house, which, as we'll see, it refers to that of another courtyard.
of a mafanu lechatzeirei, but he could clear out from his house to his courtyard, which at this point in the Gemara, it sounds like initially that a person could bring from a house in a different courtyard to his courtyard. And furthermore, regarding bringing objects from one place to another, says the Mishnah, im avin keil mebeis uman, you're not allowed to bring vessels, utensils from the craftsman, achol ha-shamayit, but if you're concerned about them, that they shouldn't get stolen from there, mifan l'chatzacheres, you could clear out to another courtyard. You can't bring it home, but you could take it to some other courtyard. Now the Gemara asks that you told me that you could clear out stuff from one house to his courtyard. But says the Gemara, be said in the opening halacha of imifanim, that you cannot clear out from one house to another house klal at all. So what's the Gemara saying? What's the Mishnah saying that you could take from a home to a courtyard? Why is it different than from one home to another home? So Mabaye says, because seif asun labaye shabachatzer. The seif is talking about to a house in the courtyard. In other words, we're saying that you could clear out from a house in your courtyard to your own courtyard to another house. That's okay. But when you're going from one courtyard to another courtyard, that was what the opening halacha was saying would be forbidden from one bias to another bias. Now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah. We said the second half of the Mishnah was ve'im avin keil mebeis uman. You cannot bring clothing, tools, vessels from the craftsman. You can't go and pick it up b'chol hashamayit. So I'm going to pop it. He says Baduklo and Rava. Rava checked this out to see if we're going to know how to answer from Tanan to Nalocha of our Mishnah. We said ve'im avin keil mebeis uman. You cannot pick up items from the craftsman house on b'chol hashamayit. But v'reminu seems to be a contradiction from Mishnah Masechet Pesachim. Mishnah says, "Meilichin umavin." You could bring and bring back kelim based uman vessels from the craftsman house. Even if it's not even needed for the tzarech ha'mayit, how do we resolve these two mishnayos? We answered him. There's not a contradiction. Kan the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim, like the topic of that Masechta, is about Pesach, is barba aser, is talking about on the 14th of Nisan, which then you could bring and take back from the craftsman because. Then it's only because it's Tzarech Yom Tov. And that, even if it's not Tzarech Moed, it's not forbidden because of the laws of Tzarech. So you're not doing anything wrong. But Kan, in our Mishnah, is B'chol HaShemayit. There's two B'chol HaShemayit that you cannot bring back because that we said it's a Tzarech that's unnecessary, which is going to be forbidden. Or you boys have another approach you could say, HaMahal B'chol HaShemayit. Now both Mishnah is talking B'chol HaShemayit. But Kan, our Mishnah is B'memina, when you trust the craftsman. Oh, then you can't bring it because it's unnecessary. Can Mishain Mamina, the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim, is told me when you don't trust him, then you could bring it back on Chol HaShemayit. Now, as we continue to Amud Beis, Vatanya, as we learn the Braisa, meaning that assists what we said. The Braisa says, Mevin Kelim Mebeis Uman, you're allowed to bring back vessels from the craftsman's house. Kugoin Kad Mebeis HaKadr, like for example, a jug from the house of the potter. Or Vekois Mebeis HaZakag, or a glass from the place of the glassmaker. Which a jug and the glass are tzarchimayit, are needed for the yamtib. You cannot bring back a piece of wool from the house of the dyer. Neither a vessel from the house of the craftsman, because wool and vessels are not necessary for the mayit. Not the main loy, but if the craftsman doesn't have mayuchel what to eat, then you could pay him for his wages. And you leave it by him. But the main mamin, if you don't trust him, you leave it by the house that's near him. But let's say you consider that it's going to be stolen from there. So then, mifan lochatzacheres, you could take it to a different courtyard. If you don't trust it, even there in the other courtyard, mivin betzinim betech beis, you could bring it discreetly back to your house. Obviously, so we see that when you don't trust him, then you could bring it, which was exactly how we said to answer the second answer we gave regarding the contradiction: if you're allowed to bring it back home or not, depends if you trust him or not. If you trust him, then you cannot. If you don't trust him, then you could. But the problem with the second answer says the Gemara: teras the mivin. You answered regarding the contradiction about bringing it back home. But Malichin Kasha, bring it to the craftsman, is difficult. Because Iktani, we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim that says that you could be both Malichin and Mavin. You could bring it there and take it back. Now, our Mishnah said, in Mavin, you can't even bring it back home. Now, because you can say Malichin, then obviously it means to say that you cannot bring it there either. Now, here you can't give the answer that you gave regarding bringing it back home, that, oh, you don't trust him. That's when you could bring it. What does that have to do with trusting? Then why would you be able to bring it? If you do trust him, then for sure you cannot bring it. Like we're saying, that's why you can't take it home. So how would we resolve the contradiction regarding bringing it on Chol HaShemayit? So the Rav says, Gemara, you're right, Machvarat is klik kadashani meikar. You have to give like the first teretz, like the first sentence that we gave, that the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about on the 14th of Nisan. That's permitted. Our Mishnah Tomach Chol HaShemayit, that's asur, but you cannot give the second answer that both are Tomach Chol HaShemayit, because then you would have answered only the contradiction regarding bringing back home. But it still wouldn't explain to us how over there it says you're allowed to bring it, and our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to bring it. Good, now look at the next Mishnah. again, continuing regarding what are you allowed to do and what not on Chodesh HaMoed, says the Mishnah Mechapin, you could cover esakatzias, the cut figs, bekash with straw on Chodesh HaMoed. Behudami says, af ma'avin, you could even make it thick. Continues the Mishnah, Moichri Peiris, those who sell produce, ksus, garments, vekelim, and vessels. So Moichim Betzinda, they could sell these things discreetly on Chodesh HaMoed, if it's Latzar HaMoed, if people need these things for Yom Tip. Hatzayad and the hunters, v'adashayshis and those who thresh and crush the wheat for grits, v'agroisis and those who grind the beans for the beans, aysim betzina. So they could do it discreetly, that because maybe people are going to say, if you did it publicly, that, oh, people are buying it, not for Yom Tov purposes. So you have to do it discreetly. And only if it's l'tzar chamayid for the Yom Tov purposes. Rabbi Yisim, he says, the statement will be clarified in the Gemara, they were stringent on themselves. But first, the Gemara explains the opening machlekes of our Mishnah regarding when you're allowed to cover the cut figs, if it's with straw or, like Yehuda says, even thick. So, pligi bar b'chia bar abba b'reb asi. And b'tavayim mishmei de chizkir b'rbichan, both of them were in the name of chizkir and b'rbichan. Chadamar, that one opinion says, what does it mean machapin? That the Tanakhama says that you could cover the cut figs with straw, means a klushi. Means that you cover it with branches that are scattered one from the other. That's not a full covering. Ma'avim, when Yehuda says you can make it thick, means a smuchi, means you can make the branches near each other, which that's a bona fide covering. Chadamah, the other Amayra said, that no, mechapin covering is bena klushi, bena smuchi, whether if they're scattered or whether they're close together. Both those were being permitted of the Tanakhama. When Yehuda says ma'avim, you can make it thick, means eisa, eisa can mean kri, that you make it like a pile. You're covering it all together, so that's easy to cover it. That's what Yehuda says, you could even do that. And Tana Moch is similar to Brice, like this last interpretation, that Ma'avin, what does that mean? That you make it thick, is Isa Isa Kaminkri, you make it like a pile, that to Rabbi Yehuda, which is like the second interpretation. Said in the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah was, Meichri Peiris Ksus became those who sell produce and garments and vessels, Meichri Metzina, they have to sell it discreetly, B'chulu, etc., which Abisa disagreed, and he says they were stringent on themselves. Now, Ibailu, the following question, when Rabbi Yisi said, Hei Nechmir Al Atzma, that they were stringent on themselves, what does that mean? They'll have an Abdu Klal, that they didn't do anything, meaning more stringent than the Tanakhama. He's saying, although the Tanakhama is saying you could do it, but discreetly, Letzor HaMoed, Rabbi says, no, they were stringent on themselves and didn't do anything, those who sell the Peiris, Ksus, and Kalim. Oidimah, maybe no. He's saying that they were stringent on themselves, they have an Abdi Betzina, that they were stringent on themselves, what the Tanakhama is saying, that they did it discreetly, that was a stringency they did for themselves. But Rabbi Yishi is saying, if a person wants to do it, b'fai hasya, out in the open, then you could do it. And therefore, he's actually being more lenient than the Tanakhama. So the Gemara says, Tashmat's being arrived in the following Brais. So the Brais says, Meichri Peiris Ksus became the same exact case. Tanakhama says that those who sell the garments and the produce and the vessels, Meichri Metzin L'Tzer HaMoed, they could sell it discreetly for the purpose of the Yom Tov. Rabbi Yishi Aymer, here he says clearly, Tagori Tveria, and you see even the examples he brings, what he means to say in the Mishnah, that the merchants of Tveria, they were stringent on themselves, and that they wouldn't sell anything at all. So you see, he's more stringent, not even to do it discreetly. So he brings a few different examples. Tanakhama says that the hunters of wild animals and birds and fish, they could trap these creatures discreetly for the purposes of the Yom Tov. Rabbi Yisam, he says, but Sadi Akoi, the hunters of Akoi, they were stringent on themselves, that they shouldn't trap at all. So to Deshoyshei, those who would thresh the grain of Chilka, Torgis, Betisni, they would be Deshin, Betzin, L'Tzer HaMayit. They would thresh it discreetly for the purpose of the Yom Tov. But again, Rabbi Yishim, he says, Deshoyshei, Tzipari, those who would crush the grain in Tzipari, Heinech Mir L'Atzim, they would string to themselves, Shaliyah, Deshin, Kalika, that they shouldn't thresh it at all. So again, we clarified that we see Rabbi Yishim is more Machman. He says that actually it was Machman, that they didn't do anything. Now, Amar Abaye, he clarifies this last case that we mentioned here in the Brisim, that when we said that those who are threshing, chilka, trogis, vetisni, they could do it discreetly, what do these terminologies mean? Chilka is like the word of chalak, of a part. It means chadlatarti, it means taking that grain and splitting it into two, like grits. Trogis is the lotion of tri, which is three, is chadlatlas, splitting each one into three. And tisni is chadlabar, splitting each grain into four parts. Okay, when Abdimi came along, he disagrees, says that no, it means kunta. It actually means spelt, which it's actually from the word of chalak, not of splitting, but of smooth, which we'll later see that they would do this by making it moist, which actually makes it hold, but that's what he says means chilka. However, it makes with the Gemara when the Mishnah says machshirin. The Mishnah says these cases of chilka, trogis, v'tisni are tamein b'chol makom. These grains are tamei in all places, meaning they're going to be makabel tumah, they're going to be susceptible to tumah. Meaning, what do you mean all places? Whether villages or the big cities. Because the Gemara tells him, Sachem Nav Memam and Aleph, that the flower of the cities are Mekabel Tumah, because they became susceptible when they came in contact with water. Now, villagers are not particular to have a refined flour to make it moist into water, and therefore actually their flour, since it's like whole wheat, is tahar, because it was never came in contact, it was never susceptible by coming in contact with water. But that's what the Mishnah is saying. But Chilka is going to be Tumah everywhere, even in villages, because it's not possible to make it without making it moist. And therefore, it's Mekabel Tumah because it was already susceptible by what's called Hokshli Kabel Tumah because it became in contact with water. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Laman Dama Chod L'Tart L'Klas L'Arba. We understand according to the one who translated, what does it mean, Chilka and Trogis and Tisni, means to say when you take a piece of wheat and you cut it into either two parts or into three parts or into four parts, Mishlam Achi Tumim B'chamakam. That's what we understand, that even by villages, it's going to become Tumah wherever it is, because this Kasha, because it was susceptible because it came in contact with one of the liquids when you split it up. Elamanda Makunta, but according to one that says Chilka just means spelled, am I Tamei B'chamakam? Why is Tamei anywhere? Halais Kasha, by the villages, it didn't become susceptible through coming in contact with the water. So why is it susceptible to Tumah? So the Gemara, we're going to Mekalfon, we're talking about where the spelt was hulled, where you took off the shell. Dilav the shell b'maya, if you had not soaked it in water, Lav Mekalfon, you would not be able to take off the shell. And therefore, that's why we're saying that the Kunta, this Chilka, wherever it is, even by the villagers, is going to be Mekalfon Tumah. And says the Gemara about my car lechilka. We understand why the other interpretation calls the chilka from chalak of splitting it. Why is spelt called chilka? Because the shokel chilkayu. Because we're saying that you took off the shell, which is smooth, so that's why it's called chilka. Now, Meis for the Gemara, however, asked from the following price. Hanoidim in Adogan. If someone took a vow prohibiting himself from having benefit from dogon, which is grain, also af bepola mitzu yavish, he's also forbidden with the dried Egyptian bean, which is also like a type of a grain. But umut balach is permitted if it's moist, and it's not like a grain, it's more like a bean. Umut ba'aretz is permitted to have benefit from rice, and bechilku v'trogis v'tisni. Those three. It says the Gemara, Bishlam l'man dama chod l'tarti chod l'tlaz v'chod l'arba. We understand according to one that translates what's chilka trogis v'tisni. It's when you split the grain into half, or into thirds, or into quarters. Shapir, it makes sense. Why is he permitted on those things if he's making himself forbidden in dogon? Because the nafkalu mitar is dogon. Because actually, once you split it, it's not dogon anymore. It's not grain, because it's not gonna. It has a different consistency, so it's not gonna be like grain. But elman mekunta. But the one that says a chilke is spelled, it's a dogon malyuhu. That's a bona fide grain. It's one of the actually five primary grains. Zimor kasha. It's a difficulty. Why would a person be permitted a chilke if he took a neder from dogon? So the Gemara says, Rav Huna, Sharlu Lahanu Kuruf Yasa. He permitted those who would sell spices, Lamezel Zvune Kir Chai Beshuka. He let them sell in the normal way in the marketplace. So he's Rav Kahana asks from the following Braisa. Braisa says, if Chanus Pesucha Listyav, if the store is open to the Styav, which are these benches on all four sides, and sometimes people would sit over there, and the stores would be open to this these benches, which is a discrete area, which is far away from the public domain. So then, Pesach v'nol kadarka. Then you could open and close your doors of the store in the normal way, because it's not open to the public domain like other stores, and therefore it's considered discreet. But Pesach l'shas ram. But if it's open to the public domain, then Pesach achas, you could only keep one door open. But v'nol achas, you have to keep the other door closed, but you cannot sell in the normal way, because that's forbidden to be done on Chol HaShamay. But v'erev yomtiv achan shachag, but before the last days of yomtiv, of sukkahs, then you could go out and you could adorn the marketplace of the city with produce. Because of the honor of the last days of Yom Tov, so we want people to go ahead and buy. But the inference is, when they covered Yom Tov Achan in, it's only because of the honor of the last days of Yom Tov that you're allowed to go ahead and sell out in the open. But Shalom, they covered Yom Tov, but not, if it's not for the covet of the last days of Yom Tov, then you're not allowed to just sell out in the open your stuff for Anchal HaShemayit. So why is he letting those who sell the spices to sell out in the open? So the Gemara like Hash, not difficult, because the Braisa that doesn't allow it, unless for Kavod Yom Tov Achron, is to Mabepewi, by produce, where there people would suspect that people are buying it just to have for the year, and not Letzarech HaMoed, that we have to do it discreetly. Ha, Rav Huna was talking about betavlin. He was talking about spices, like we said, which that you're allowed to sell in a normal way. For example, regarding leek and regarding cabbage, because everyone knows it's for tzarcha mayit, and there's no suspicion because those types of spices don't last a long time, and therefore, even publicly, like Rav Huna allowed it, would be permitted. Hanulach Mishahavach, which I would turn to the second paragraph of Masechta Maikotin, paragraph Mishahavach, which the topic was like the opening words of Mishahavach, Hazesav, if someone has his olives that were prepared, and again, what would happen in situations of Dabur Ovid, that if that would be permitted, and some other things that we spoke about, which are permitted to be done, the Chol Shemayin, because of the laws, or other things that are forbidden.